Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
Resolving relationship difficulties. Like, what could be more important? You know, our relationships are so important to us. They have such a huge bearing on our state of well-being. You know, we have so many different types of relationships with our partner, with our family, children, parents, siblings, with our colleagues, with our neighbors. There's so many different kinds of relationships we have. And if those relationships feel fraught and tense and difficult and strained, it weighs on us and it really saps our sense of well-being. Usually, when our relationships are difficult, we think there's a very clear and obvious reason why this relationship is difficult, and it's them. They are the problem. They are the problem. They are the reason why this relationship is difficult. And that might be true. I'm not completely discounting that. But in the Buddhist tradition, what we explore first is, what can I do? What can I do to make a difference in how I feel about this relationship and how this relationship is working? What can I do? You know, there's a very famous saying from one of the great Indian Buddhist masters, Shantideva. He said, if you want to walk across a rough, stony ground without hurting your feet, you have two choices. You can try to cover the whole ground with leather, or you can simply cover your feet. One of those options is not practical, and the other one, we all wear shoes. He said, in exactly the same way, if we want to go through life, which is full of many challenging and difficult situations, without experiencing a lot of suffering and pain, we have two choices. We can try to change everyone and everything to suit us, or we can change our mind. And again, really, only one of those is practical. And the exciting thing that we discover is that by making some relatively simple changes to the way we think and relate to ourselves and others, we can radically increase our happiness. Like, we can take a situation that seems really quite even hopeless. You know, like sometimes in a relationship, even in, you know, whether it's a partner or a sibling or a parent, sometimes it can feel like it's veering to the hopeless. Like, there's just no saving this. There's just no saving this. There's, the only thing I can do is just walk away and never have contact, which breaks our heart. Especially if it's, you know, if it's a partner, you might think, depending how long it's been, you might think, whatever, I'll find someone else. But if it's been a long time and there's kids, and it's a big deal. And certainly if it's siblings or parents, it's a big deal. Like, we don't want to lose these things, but sometimes we feel, I'm just being pushed into a corner. There's no choice. And again, of course, sometimes there is no choice. Sometimes that is how it ends up. And that's sad, but that's sometimes the truth. But what we may discover is that by making a few adjustments to the way we think, we can so radically change our experience that what seemed like a hopeless, unsolvable problem just becomes effortlessly solved. You know? So I'm going to make some suggestions. I mean, they're not my suggestions, they're Buddhist suggestions, which is why they're going to work. I can tell you my ideas, but oh dear. Buddha's suggestions. And they're not difficult to get. Like, what I'm going to say tonight is very easy to understand. It's not in the least bit complicated. It's not rocket science. It's very straightforward. I'm basically going to make two points. Mostly, I'm going to make two points, and we'll try to meditate on those two points. They're very easy to understand, but practically, we're quite likely to encounter some resistance. You know, that our mind might feel, for example, they don't deserve for me to think like that about them. If I think like that about them, I'm letting them off the hook. You know, that we may encounter some resistance, which we will then have to internally have a discussion with ourselves. You know, our mind is you know, one of the things the Buddha said about our mind. He gave this analogy of our mind being like a jungle with many different pathways through it. And some of those pathways take us to very painful places. Some of those pathways taking us to painful places we have traveled many, many times. There are other pathways that take us to beautiful places. Sometimes they're hidden. Sometimes maybe they're not even there to start with. And if they're not there, we need to get our meditation machete out and forge that new pathway, carve that pathway into the jungle of our mind. And if we keep doing that and neglecting the old pathway, that old pathway will disappear into the undergrowth as if it wasn't ever there. And that new pathway will become as easy to travel as that old pathway was. Either way, we need to keep noticing, when we can, the forks in the road. I could go this way, but equally I could go that way. And then we make a decision. Which way do I want to go? This path takes me to an angry, resentful, embittered place. This path takes me to a place of warmth and open-heartedness and feeling close. And it's our choice. It's our choice. We might need to give quite a bit of encouragement to our mind to go down this way if it's used to going down that way. But basically, in the end, we have so much more freedom about how we think and feel than we tend to realize. We're capable of so much choice in the workings of our mind. Okay. This course, there are 3 weeks of this course. Don't worry if this is your first class. This is the second class. This is the main class. Do come back next week, though. But this is the main class. And each class is self-contained, so you can come when you can make it. But I do want to just give a quick recap, brief recap of some of the main points from last week. So I was sharing that from a Buddhist point of view, we look at problems as outer and inner problems, outer and inner problems. So an outer problem is outside, an inner problem is inside. And our problems are inner problems. So for example, just to give some trivial examples, if our car breaks down, that's an outer problem. It needs an outer solution, a mechanic, a garage, whatever it might be, something to sort that out. As we discovered earlier, lots of oil is very helpful for cars if they don't have any oil. Anyway, like that. If we get unhappy about that, that's an inner problem. Like there's an outer problem that needs a solution, which is fine. If we get unhappy about it, that's an inner problem. So it's important to be able to distinguish the inner problem and the outer problem, because otherwise we spend our whole life trying to fix the outer problem, thinking that will make me happy. But actually, if we keep having an inner problem, we will keep having an inner problem until we address that. Now, on this course, what we're going to look at is the inner problem primarily, obviously, that's the Buddhist way. Next week is looking at the outer problem. Hopefully, by the end of this week, from our side, we're good. Totally happy. We just totally love them. Not a problem. We're not bothered by a thing. We're just so full of acceptance. We just love. We are just pure, radiant love. Yum, yum, yum. There may still be an outer problem that needs addressing. And so we'll talk about that next week. What we're going to try to get to this week is that deep, loving acceptance. I'm going to read a few passages. So from my teacher, Venerable Geshe Kelsang Gyatso Rinpoche's book, How to Solve Our Human Problems, and also his book, The New Eight Steps to Happiness. He says, in reality, most of our emotional problems are nothing more than a failure to accept things as they are. Like, we don't agree with that to start with. We think, no, that's not right. The problem is there. That's the problem. But actually, we will discover that there is so much happiness available to us once we accept things as they are. This is how it is. You know, the amount of times we find ourselves saying, it shouldn't be like this. Like, we're stuck in traffic, it shouldn't be like this. The internet won't connect, it shouldn't be like this. The whatever it might be, it shouldn't be like this. The only times we ever say to ourselves, it shouldn't be like this, is precisely when it is like that. That it shouldn't be like that is just holding us back. If we can get to a place, okay, this is where we are. How can I move forward? We'll find so much weight lifting from us. Anyway, in reality, most of our emotional problems are nothing more than a failure to accept things as they are. In which case, it is patient acceptance rather than attempting to change externals that is the solution. For example, many of our relationship problems arise because we do not accept our partner as they are. In these cases, the solution is not to change our partner into what we would like them to be, but to accept them fully as they are. There are many levels of acceptance. Perhaps we already try to tolerate our partner's idiosyncrasies, refraining from criticizing them and going along with their wishes most of the time. But have we, in the depths of our heart, given up judging them? Are we completely free from resentment and blaming? Is there not still a subtle thought that they ought to be different from the way they are? True patience involves letting go of all these thoughts. Once we fully accept other people as they are without the slightest judgment or reservation, as all the enlightened beings accept us, then there is no basis for problems in our relations with others. Problems do not exist outside our mind. So when we stop seeing other people as problems, they stop being problems. The person who is a problem to a non-accepting mind does not exist in the calm, clear space of patient acceptance. Patient acceptance not only helps us, it also helps those with whom we are patient. Being accepted feels very different from being judged. When someone feels judged, they automatically become tight and defensive. But when they feel accepted, they can relax. And this allows their good qualities to come to the surface. Patience always solves our inner problems, but often it solves problems between people as well. So, we're going to try this evening to find a way of thinking that allows us to have a complete acceptance, no judgment, no resentment, a deep understanding. There is a section in the New Eight Steps to Happiness, excuse me, that's called Living Beings Have No Faults, which is delightfully provocative, because how many people do you know that have no faults? Anyone? Is there anyone? Do we know, how many perfect people do you know? Like, you know, maybe your mum, maybe your dad, you know, yourself. Okay, fair enough. We might go on some dodgy territory there. Gosh. Okay. Because in general, one of the first things we notice about people is what's wrong with them. You know, that, you know, and for example, like if someone's having a conversation with us, telling us about someone we already know and going on about how great they are, you know, they're amazing. We're just waiting for them to take a breath so we can say, yeah, but you don't know them the way I know them. Let me tell you a few things about them that you haven't figured out yet. We spot quite quickly, oh, there's this that's a bit wrong, there's that that's a bit wrong. We find faults in people. It's one of the things our mind does. Very unfortunate. And so Venerable Geshe starts that section with one of those kind of Buddhist riddle type questions, you know. And the question is, does seawater taste salty? Does seawater taste salty? All of us, I'm sure, have been to the beach, had a good mouthful of seawater on occasion. Does it taste salty? You know it does. You also know it's a Buddhist question. So the answer is going to be no, obviously. The answer is going to be no. Not quite sure why yet, but that's the way those Buddhists are. It's always the wrong way round. It's not my fault, it's their fault, oh, whatever, I don't know. Okay, so Yes, that's right. The answer is no. Seawater doesn't taste salty. Seawater, in fact, does not taste salty. The salt in the seawater tastes salty. The seawater itself, delicious and refreshing. Like, obviously, our tongue is not clever enough to figure that out. Like, get a mouthful of seawater, our tongue can't go, refreshing, delightful seawater, ooh, salty salt. Our tongue isn't that clever. But clearly, our mind is, because there are whole large parts of the world that the drinking water is seawater. It's desalinated seawater. Someone came up with the understanding, I can take water from the sea, just take that salt out, and that seawater is delicious and refreshing, and it will be happily drunk by the masses. So what's that got to do with anything? Well, when we see someone behaving badly, when we experience someone behaving in a way that's unreasonable or disagreeable, what our eyes see is a bad person. We see a bad person that in the end we want nothing to do with. But our heart, our mind, doesn't have to see that. Our heart can understand this isn't a bad person at all. In fact, what I'm witnessing, what this person is showing me, is their pain. That's what I'm actually seeing. There's a good person here who is in pain. Like, if we check, we just think a little bit, like, is this behavior the expression of someone who is at peace with themselves? Is this the behavior of a happy, contented mind? And we know it's not. You know, sometimes we find ourselves behaving in those ways when we're really miserable, when we're overwhelmed, when we're stressed, when we've just lost any kind of space processing power. Those are when we behave. So what is this person showing me? They're showing me their pain. Why? No one wants to be in pain. It's not like this person got up that morning and put at the top of their to-do list, be in a foul mood and take it out on everyone. That's not on anyone's plan for the day. And yet it happens. Some people, it happens a lot. This is someone whose mind is unhappy. Their mind is malfunctioning. In Buddhism, we use this term delusion, which basically means the mind malfunctioning. Buddha discovered that our mind, when it's functioning optimally, as it's capable of functioning, is always happy. But unfortunately, there's a whole range of different things that can go wrong, different ways our mind can malfunction. And when it does, we become unhappy and we tend to direct that unhappiness outwards. This person that just a moment ago I was seeing as a bad person, I want nothing to do with, even maybe we're developing some sort of punitive, revengeful sorts of thoughts. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm going to sort them out for what they're doing. If we start to go down this different pathway in our mind, we start to realize this is a person that's suffering. This is a person that's in pain. We might still think, yeah, but they should know better. They should know better. Yeah, well, if they knew better, they wouldn't be in the state they're in. Nobody wants to be in a suffering state. The very fact that they're directing that negativity outwards is a sign that they don't know where the real problem is or how to address it, the problem in their mind. It's a relatively simple switch in the mind. This behavior is an expression of pain. This person is suffering. And it's not their fault. It's not their fault. They are not actually to blame.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.